News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is sunny out there, which means eventually it's going to be, I can tell you this from experience, it's going to be sunny and hot. Got to 90 yesterday, probably up in that range again today, so just get ready for that. But we don't have any rain in the forecast till Memorial Day, and that's just a slight chance there. So quite a long stretch of A-OK weather if you don't, you know, collapse from the heat.
That's right. Yeah, we were talking about how nice the forecast is, and forget who it was that texted in earlier and said, it's not a great forecast if you're working in a house or an attic without AC today.
No.
So good point.
It is not.
No.
It is not.
8:07 here on a Tuesday morning, and that means it's time to talk with our guest, Quinn Hillier, who writes for the Washington Examiner, and you can also find his work at quinnhillier.com. Good morning, Quinn. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. I know you wanted to highlight something that may be on the newsstands tomorrow.
Yes. Well, last week in Lagniappe, Rob Hulbert had a really thoughtful, good piece with some very good ideas in it about how to start solving the problem downtown of still too many blighted properties, too many empty buildings, even though a lot good has happened downtown. But there's still way, way, way too many buildings that have, you know, that have no use. And I saw that, and just an advertisement. I had an idea to add to that, which I expect to be showing up. Maybe people should read Lagniappe this week.
Okay. Oh, so you're not going to reveal it. You're just going to say, be listening.
Yeah, check it in.
Check it out.
It's a tease, Dan.
Okay.
We know all about teases.
Run and pick up your Lagniappe as soon as it comes out at noon tomorrow.
Well, and also, we don't have to run and get a Lagniappe like that, do we?
All right. We got it online.
Online.
So I'm sure it'll show up there, too.
Subscribe to Lagniappe. I do.
Real.
LagniappeMobile.com. Let's talk about international affairs, and what a surprise this weekend. All this talk about Israel and Hamas, Iran, and their control over Hamas and Hezbollah. And the Iranian president drops dead in a helicopter crash this weekend, along with the foreign minister. And yesterday, a few things happening. One, the State Department put out condolences, basically, for the death of Ibrahim Raisi, the president of Iran, and the foreign minister as well. And I know the spokesman, Matthew Miller, was questioned about that a bunch yesterday. But you also had the International Criminal Court put out arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu, also the foreign defense minister in Israel, and a few of the Hamas leaders. All of that happening yesterday, Quinn.
Yes. First of all, as for Raisi, or however you say his name, from Iran, my colleague at the Washington Examiner, Tom Rogan, had a very good immediate react piece. He said, why are we offering condolences to a guy who not only, you know, has verbalized the death to America stuff, but has literally ordered the assassinations, luckily they haven't been carried out, but ordered the assassinations of Americans several times, tried to get American citizens assassinated. In that case, you don't express condolences. You don't say anything at all. And the fact that we express condolences is just more example. It's just one more example of the Biden administration, for whatever reason, toadying up to the Iranian regime, just like the Obama administration did before it. And It's really inexcusable.
Yeah, it seems to be. There was a Dalton had kind of a supercut of people coming after Miller yesterday, and for all we know, Matthew Miller was just, you know, they said go out there and say this. He may not have written it, and suddenly he was peppered like you can't believe. Like, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah, and one of the things that was brought up during that questioning, they said, well, why didn't you do the same for the Wagner leader Prigozhin when he went down? And Miller said, well, he wasn't a head of state. And one of the reporters yesterday said, well, you know, technically Raisi wasn't the head of state either, as Iran is led by their Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. So it's a bit of a different government over there, and the president isn't the all-knowing authority. But I don't know, are they trying to use this as part of the – it's all a bargain, right, as they try to bring this Hamas-Gaza thing to an end, that they're just going to try to play as nice as possible so that Iran can't ding them over anything?
I don't know. I mean, you know, this is the same administration, the Biden administration, that just refuses to really impose strong sanctions against Iran, that keeps, gave over $6 billion?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it $600 million? Anyway, a ton of money that had been frozen of theirs. We unfroze it and let it go to them so they could turn around and finance terrorists like Hamas, which has now, you know, embroiled the Middle East in war. There is something really weird about how the Biden administration treats Iran, and it's, as I keep saying, it's inexcusable. What's also inexcusable is the International Criminal Court effectively equating the Hamas leaders, which it put out an arrest or is seeking an arrest warrant for, and the leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the defense minister, the elected leader of a democratic government with open and fair elections that all outside agencies like Freedom House rate as entirely free nations, that has been acting in self-defense and has been trying to minimize civilian casualties and aid and assist humanitarian aid while doing it. So for them to put out an arrest warrant or even seek one against Netanyahu is outrageous. But the truth is the International Criminal Court itself is illegitimate. There is no such thing as international criminal law, especially to try to apply it to anybody from the United States or Israel or any of the countries that are not signatories to the treaty that started the International Criminal Court. That means they are trying to impose criminal law on somebody that has not agreed to abide by that criminal law. There is no consent of the governed in that way or any way else. The ICC is an entirely illegitimate organization.
Also, I don't know if you, right before the top of the hour news, Dalton revealed to me that there was a Hollywood connection to this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, the human rights lawyer and wife of George Clooney, Amal Clooney, apparently an advisor to the International Criminal Court, and specifically on this decision to charge Netanyahu and these others yesterday. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the ICC. I just know that they also put out arrest warrants for Putin last year. It's kind of like, you know, you go on a walk and you got this mean dog down the street, but that dog is on a chain. I mean, what exactly, how's the ICC stay funded or anything like that? They just put out arrest warrants for people they're never going to arrest.
Yeah, well, what it does, supposedly everybody that has signed on to it is obligated to assist in the arrest of whoever they put out a warrant for. So technically, if since, for instance, the United Kingdom, Great Britain, is a signer to it, if Putin traveled to Great Britain, by the terms of the treaty, Great Britain should take him into custody and hand him over to the ICC. That ain't going to happen. But guess what? If Netanyahu travels anywhere in the world other than America or Great Britain, I bet some idiot government is going to try to arrest him, which is crazy to arrest the democratically elected leader, head of state, who or at least, you know, elected head, who is, again, acting in self-defense. It's insane.
It was founded about 22 years ago in Rome, the International Criminal Court. It is located in that hotbed of constant controversy, the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
The Hague.
So if you are called to court, by the way, maybe it's a traffic violation, I don't know, that's where you have to go.
Yeah, avoid the Dutch if you get this warrant. One last thing on this, Quinn, and I don't know, you know, with these internal workings of Iranian politics, I understand that the president, Raisi, who's now dead, was a pretty close ally with the Ayatollah. But a lot of the Iranians obviously didn't like him. I mean, he led mass executions. And then just a couple years ago, when there was a uprising of the people over Iran's treatment of women, he had a harsh fist then as well. Could we see some uprising within Iran, or how much does it matter who they decide who the next president is?
Well, there's long been evidence that a substantial, at least minority, but a substantial number of Iranian citizens has long wanted to throw off the shackles of this absolutely evil, brutal regime that has been there for 45 years now. But every time they try to rise up, the West is too afraid to do anything. So, there was what they were calling, I believe, the Green Revolution in Iran back when Obama was president, and Obama would not do a thing to help those people. He wouldn't even help them rhetorically. And it was just an abominable dereliction of leadership from Obama. And, you know, so, yeah, there are a lot of people in Iran that don't want to be under this. But is there any hope unless the West will do something to help them? I mean, you know, maybe you do some sort of, CIA secret op or something that, you know, that doesn't have fingerprints, but do something. I mean, Reagan certainly did a lot to help Solidarity in Poland in 80, 81, 82. Through surreptitious means. Are we doing any of that? If not, we should be.
I don't know that we are. And again, Raisi was sanctioned by Trump for his role in carrying out the massacre of 5,000 Iranian political prisoners. And in 1988, he had pretty substantial role in the slaughter of about 1,500 Iranians who were, you know, demonstrating, and that's what you get if you demonstrate.
He's a butcher.
Yeah, I don't know much. I do have a very good feeling that the intelligence services are involved, trying to move things a certain way. It's just the way they operate. I think we've seen that time and time again.
Yeah, you would think if there is a morsel of unrest where people are trying to show some sort of backbone, we'd be involved in some way.
Trying to capitalize on it.
Right.
I'd say so. 8:19, we'll continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com and the Washington Examiner right after this. And Quinn, you wrote a great article on illegal immigration, and I want to get into that when we get back.
Yeah, we do have kind of a local corner to that story as well. It's 19 after 8, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dalton, I'm so glad there's not an international traffic court where you just little lane violations and off you are to the Netherlands to have to explain it to a judge. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and the Washington Examiner, our guest.
And Quinn, you wrote this week, influx of foreigners, especially illegal ones, is way too high, and this will continue to be a big debate, especially as we head into November. I just had a story this morning, a DEA report. It says the two major Mexican drug cartels, the Jalisco and Sinaloa cartels, are in all 50 states and are even controlling the drug market. You know, they've reached their tentacles in everywhere, including in states like Mississippi. I'm sure there's some involvement here. We have a story we've been following where an illegal immigrant was driving three times over the legal alcohol limit at the end of last month, 88 miles an hour in the wrong direction on Moffett Road, killed a 19-year-old from Sims, Adam Luker. And this illegal alien had been arrested after a DUI in 2021, was somehow still out. And we know that he was an illegal because he was arrested by ICE back in 2018 after crossing the border near Hidalgo, Texas. He was one of these millions who was released with a notice to appear in immigration court. It's a major problem, and everyone's weighing in, including the Pope, who denounced the United States attempts to close the southern border as madness in a CBS interview here recently.
Don't get me started on this, Pope, on multiple levels. But on immigration, I've always been a moderate on immigration. I've always said if anybody who wants to come legally, then almost without limits, the more the merrier. But we can't do that anymore because so many illegals have been allowed to cross and let out, as you say, even ones that are arrested aren't deported. We have a problem now. The percentage of people living in America who are foreign-born is now at its highest level in the history of the United States, I guess, other than, of course, when the nation was founded, because when the nation was founded, everybody was technically foreign-born in a way. But the highest percentage of foreign-born and the highest increase in foreign-born in the last 2 years in American history. And there's a problem there, because even the educated ones who come in from wherever, if you have too many of them at once, it's tough to assimilate. It's tough to acculturate. And if you don't have acculturation, if you don't have assimilation, society starts to balkanize. It starts to atomize. People have trouble forming communities, et cetera, et cetera. I am all for a faster, surer, fairer legal immigration system. But when you have this high a percentage, it's tough. It's really tough to get everybody in, because every study shows that when communal bonds break down, when cultural bonds break down, when people don't quite understand their culture, the political system starts to fray. Gee, haven't we seen that? Yeah. The social connections start to fray. And it's a bad thing. And there are all sorts of books out, including by two of my colleagues, Con Carroll, by Tim Carney, by a guy named Brad Wilcox, that show all this, not about immigrants in specific, but about the importance of cultural ties. And if we didn't have all this illegal immigration, we could easily handle the legal that comes. But the illegal immigration is by far the biggest part of this surge, and it's causing all sorts of problems, like the ones that you talked about today, including the horrible thing out on Moffett Road. And it's inexcusable. It's almost criminal what the Biden administration is doing to not enforce the border.
Really is.
So Trump is calling for mass deportations when he gets into office. And turns out a lot of America agrees. According to polling, over 50% of Americans agree that there needs to be mass deportations. Do you agree with that, Quinn?
Oh, yes. Look, if the illegal problem was largely stemmed, I would be for, letting lots of legal people in. But right now, I want to round people up and, figuratively speaking, put them in an airplane with a parachute, drive them over their home countries, and push them out the door. I mean, again, I'm sort of figuratively speaking, right. But yes, mass deportations of illegals, if their first act in coming to the country is to break our laws, they do not belong in this country, period.
And some of the loudest cries for this, as time has gone on here, is in the inner city. Inner cities like Philadelphia and Chicago, they're like, our neighborhoods are being overrun with people who are not even supposed to be anywhere in the United States, and they're right next to us.
Yeah.
They don't
appreciate
it.
The funny thing is, a bunch of sanctuary cities are now complaining when Texas sends the illegals up to the sanctuary cities that turn out they don't like being sanctuaries at all.
Isn't that funny? QuinnHilliard.com, you can read his work there. Also, the Washington Examiner. Thanks a bunch, Quinn.
Thanks.
All right, 8:30, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to your texts and turn up your voice right after the break. 251-343-0106. Thanks, Kane. 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Thanks for listening on this Tuesday. This segment brought to you by the great folks over at Tobias and Comer Law, a local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for tons of people in our area. They've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. And a reminder, this week is National Safe Boating Week. Imagine how many boats are going to be out on the water this weekend, especially with this great weather forecast and it being a long Memorial Day weekend. There's certain safety tips you want to abide by, or you could end up being sorry for it when it's all said and done. You know, Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile has had at least a few interviews with guys who have been out on the water for their entire lives, really great swimmers, and then just that one thing goes wrong, or you're not paying attention, and it could all go very, very badly. Some tips over at TobiasComerLaw.com for National Safe Boating Week. Of course, you want to make sure you have a life jacket on board and that you're wearing it. Make sure that life jacket, by the way, is U.S. Coast Guard approved. Very important that you know state boating laws. I know that often if you don't, some of the other boaters out there will let you know when you're breaking them. You don't want to be embarrassed like that. Great way to know the rules is to take a boating safety course, especially if you are a novice boater, and make sure that boat is prepared and always file a float plan so you have a friend or a loved one who knows where you're headed and where you might be if you don't make it back home. Those are some tips, and you can check them out at TobiasComerLaw.com. And don't forget, voting in the Nappies continues through Sunday. Tobias and Comer Law up for Best Personal Injury Law Firm, and Brian Comer up for Best Personal Injury Attorney. You can vote at VoteNappies.com and find out more about Tobias and Comer at TobiasComerLaw.com.
I know you've had a lot of conversations with Desi and Mr. Comer and such, and so have they ever tried anything in the International Criminal Court?
Well, I don't think so.
The court, this is what the International Criminal Court says about itself.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little flowery, I guess. The court is participating in a global fight to end impunity, and through international criminal justice, the court aims to hold those responsible accountable for their crimes and to help prevent these crimes from happening again. The court cannot reach these goals alone. As a court of last resort, it seeks to complement, not replace, national courts governed by an international treaty called the Rome Statute. The ICC is the world's first permanent international crime court.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on. Some key points are: A, trials are fair.
Okay.
B, the prosecution is independent. C, defendants' rights are upheld. And a few more talking points, like victims' voices are heard and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there is your...
Well...
I don't think you can do much of a deep dive on the International Criminal Court because that's about it.
Yeah.
It's like a little commercial to make you feel good.
Well... I mentioned that, you know, they put out the warrants for Putin last year, nothing coming from that. But I was looking at the map. Mexico and Canada are both members, active members of the International Criminal Court. And all this talk about these cartels this morning and how they've absolutely taken over the drug trade. I mean, it's not breaking news, but this DEA report just confirms it and really shows that their tentacles reach further than a lot of people even thought. And we're joking kind of about, you know, outsourcing work for citizens of the United States. We're now kind of outsourcing even the drug trade on corners in like Mississippi and here in Alabama, where now you have illegal immigrants coming in and controlling that. But Mexico is a member. So where's the ICC warrants on the head of the cartels? You talk about fentanyl and how many. This DEA report says fentanyl is killing 2,000 Americans a day. And then just 6 months last year, what was that number? I have it right here. In the first 6 months of 2023, how many people died from fentanyl? It was a ton. Was it about
2,000 a day, you say?
2,000 a day. And 38,000 in the first 6 months of 2023.
38,000.
Right. Yeah, I saw the
well,
number.
That doesn't
add up, does it?
No.
Let me see what the number said here.
Okay.
Because it's... 38,000 in 2023, and I'm telling you, it said 2,000 a day. I'll have to find that exact number.
Well, 2,000 a day.
Maybe it'd be 200 a day. 200 a day sounds more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Still, 200 people a day being killed by fentanyl. And
if there was a major plane crash every day, one day it's in St. Louis, one day it's outside of Denver, you know, another mm-hmm. plane crash.
And you knew who was in charge.
We would be horrified, and you would say, hey, great point. If you knew who was in charge, you'd say, this is unacceptable. And yet, it is being accepted because it's not a plane crash a day, but it might as well be.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 200 citizens dying a day from fentanyl, if it were, the headlines were another plane crash.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on here?
And, of course, China's complicit as well,
mm-hmm.
as they're sending over the goods that are then being pressed into the pills in Mexico and then sold by these cartels.
You know, the thing about the cartels, too, is they're another level of ruthless. So if they're coming into American cities and those who are selling drugs have got a degree of ruthless to them, but actually the cartels are second, third level of mm-hmm. that, are they intimidating? Are they, in what way are they beginning to take all the business?
Right, yeah.
It'd be like, well, I could shoot Joey from across the street, but I'm not messing with them. I wonder if there's some of that going on.
Yeah, because it's basically the military moving in,
right?
many ways.
And then,
but it also might
very
be
very organized and very, you know, they could be intimidating drug-selling gangs into not doing business.
Well, they might also just be buying those gangs, right? They're buying them out and saying, hey, we're your supplier. This is how things are going to go, and you'll be paid handsomely for it. Yeah, kind of like a new CEO being hired on.
Mm.
Maybe that's the way they're doing it, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gardner texting in, the illegal invasion is obviously part of the Democratic goal of replacement voters. This is something everyone should be shouting from the top of every mountain all day, every day. 85% of media is liberal, so most of America doesn't hear about the drugs and the immigration issues. And, you know, Trump has previously said, did he say we should bomb these cartels in Mexico? There have been all kinds of theories on ways to rein in all of this violence and this drug. And I don't know, have we had special ops down there doing some stuff? It's all of that, you know, we don't know.
I don't know of any of that. I've never heard of any of that. Meanwhile, Quinn, who generally, would be not the furthest right out there, he wants to put him on a plane and shove him into toss him into a volcano. It's like, if you come to the United States illegally, Quinn's like, he's ready for the roundup. And he sounded like that, right?
And that's been a major shift politically in polls. And I think it was a major reason why Trump was elected in 2016, where his thoughts on outsourcing all of these American jobs and also the drugs coming in from Mexico. But then after Trump got into office, it kind of tilted the other way, where people were like, oh, immigration isn't all that bad. He's being harsh on them. He's being mean.
We weren't seeing it to this level. So it was like people were changing their stance on it. Now everybody from the rancher near the border to the preacher in inner city Chicago saying the same thing.
Like, get him out of here.
This is too much.
Yeah. Chris in Orange Beach says, if you walk into the Piggly Wiggly and Foley on any given day, listen to the languages that are being spoken. Damn Yankee says, we are on the doorstep of World War III. I can't imagine what will trigger the Big Bang, but it's coming. Yeah. And, you know, World War I and World War II, people didn't really realize it was a world war until you were well into it.
Yeah.
So we could already technically be in World War III, but hopefully, you know, cooler minds prevail. And that's what I was thinking about with that poll where 56% of Americans, which I don't believe the poll, 56% believe that they'll see climate change end the planet during their lifetime. I'm like,
no.
I'm more concerned about the nuclear warfare that could possibly happen.
That'll be some climate change.
Yeah.
That'll be some climate change that everybody recognizes immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not going to end the planet as we're sitting here watching it.
Can you imagine waking up with that fear every day? Like, it's I guess it's a lot like the fear during COVID, where people just thought it was over. You know, living in a different reality.
Yeah.
In many cases.
Yeah. That is you know, and every day when you wake up, you have a chance to have a little talk with yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you realize some things, or something comes across and you think, you know, you just start looking at things maybe your entire life in a different light. Can you imagine, like you said, waking up every day with your biggest fear?
Oh, it's so hot.
The planet's going to burn up.
Yeah.
That's a miserable way to go through.
You're putting a little too much pressure on yourself, I'd say, if that's the case.
You're right.
And everyone else, because they want everyone else to, you know, stop what you're doing, because you're going to end the world. CB Carl says, making the Beach Express Bridge one lane in both directions on Memorial Day weekend. I wonder if the b-holes at LDOT are that stupid or just have that much disdain for the people who live and work here. I can't help but remember the story y'all had recently about the amount of tax revenue the state gets from down here. Yeah, it was like $6.6 billion is the number you had yesterday from the Baldwin County beaches. Yeah, I was excited about the tolls being lifted before Memorial Day weekend. Oh, what perfect timing. People are going to be flying through the Beach Express Bridge, but narrowing it down as they're going to have to one lane both directions. That is going to be the bottleneck of all bottlenecks.
Bob's going to Perdido, say, staying right near the Floribama, right near the line. I think the way I would go down to the beach now would be a left at wherever it takes you to Alberta and Lillian, and just kind of coming through the back way. Just cross over into Lillian, Florida, and then just take the highway. You can be on the beach road then in no time. And just avoid it all by just, and it's a nice little drive. I probably 40 minutes out of your way, but I'd rather do that than be stuck in miserable traffic.
By the way, saw this, a tip for some of you that'll be at the beach next weekend. So Bert Kreischer, the comedian, I think a lot of people around here like him. He just performed in Mobile not that long ago. We gave away tickets for that.
Back in the fall, I think.
And he has this comedy festival where they will be playing at the Wharf, and he's got some other great comedians like Whitney Cummings. I saw an interview with Kreischer. It's Sunday, June 30th that they'll be doing this. So,
okay.
I'm sorry, it's next month. I was thinking May 30th. But he was talking about taking everyone down to the Floribama. So if you're going to see Bert Kreischer next month, you want to maybe see some of these comedians outside of on the stage.
Yeah.
He said they're going to just be partying down at the Floribama that whole day before the comedy show that
night. And I wondered, you know, why not give them a mic, let them do some of their stuff at the Floribama too. That'd be great.
Yeah, let them work some stuff out there on the stage.
Yeah, exactly. See what the locals like, you know?
Texter here says, if those that believe they will live to see climate change destroy the planet, then they will have faced the tribulation period of 7 years. When God pours out his wrath on the world, it will not be because of cows, coal, oil, or glaciers melting, but because of unbelief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, thank you there, Texter. Mr. Plot says, which one of those Iranian leaders did they dump out of his casket on the way through town? I saw they did the casket thing yesterday. Did one of them get dumped out? I don't know. That would not be good.
Wasn't that years ago?
Okay.
I'd be talking about years ago.
Sounds like something that could happen. Sounds like a comedy sketch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that happened one time. We'll have to YouTube that. But this happened. This wasn't recent. This was something that happened years ago,
I
do believe.
If you were one of the bearers, one of the pallbearers, and your side is the one that dropped, and it's in Iran.
You pretty much...
Probably the end of days
for
you.
You're staring at your last moments on the earth.
T-Bone said, I'm thinking of heading down to the beach on Thursday. I can't decide whether to be the last tolled vehicle or the first untolled vehicle. Maybe I'll turn around quick and be both. And you try that out, T-Bone. We'd love to see that. And we also have some texts here on how you think the Trump jury will rule if they do start deliberating next week. Will it be a hung jury? Will all 12 vote to convict, or will all 12 say, hey, things look like Trump is in the clear here? And we've got some of those, and we'll get to those texts. Plus, the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
Yes.
They finally towed the dolly, the ship that caused it, out yesterday.
The guys have been on that ship all this time?
Apparently, they've been on the ship this entire time without their cell phones. Get into that. We all forgot about them. I had no idea, but pretty...
So they can't even play Wordle, nothing like that.
No, they're just stuck with each other for the last 45 days or however long it's been.
Jerry's on everybody's nerves at this point.
No doubt.
He was the biggest nerd on that boat. 849 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. And we'll see that Jeff Poore is here. We'll preview his show on the way. Right now, Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening. What is going on? FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. There's going to be some movement in the harbor up in Baltimore. Trying to get some things moved, trying to get some lanes opened up. What's the latest you've got?
So, I don't know why I thought this was so funny yesterday. Maybe it's not funny for those on board, but we're talking about this bridge collapse and 55 days, I guess 56 as of today, that 21 crew members have been stuck on that vessel.
The dolly.
They just finally removed and towed the dolly back to port, but the 21 crew members who have been stuck for 55 days still aren't able to leave the vessel just yet.
This is like a reality show. They're trying. I mean, who's going to win?
There should have been cameras on board.
Who's going to win?
Now, it would have had to have been like a Bollywood-style reality show because 21 crew members all are from India,
okay,
except for one man from Sri Lanka. Oh, I bet he's been having a great time.
He's like, he's the one guy on the outs, right?
maybe the one guy who caused the accident is on the outs, and then the guy from Sri Lanka. But they said the massive dolly cargo freighter regained buoyancy yesterday as part of a huge team effort and was moved away from the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It was back on March 26th that it hit one of those support columns, and then the bridge collapsed. U.S. maritime rules require a ship in any condition must maintain a minimum staffing at all times and at any time machinery aboard is running so that there are crew who can respond if there's a problem such as a fire. I mean, would you want this crew to be the one to respond, though, in all fairness, after what happened just a couple months ago?
No.
I would have probably put a different crew on there.
Yeah.
Like I said, also, the seafarers' U.S. visas are believed to have expired while they've been stuck in the port.
So they're
illegal now.
Illegal, yeah.
They were legal. And now they're illegal.
Let's plop that on top.
In April, the FBI confiscated all of their phones as part of the investigation, none of which have been returned.
Hmm.
They gave them cell phones, the replacement cell phones, but don't have access to their original data. This whole time, I haven't heard anyone mention that all of these crew members have been on board for the last 2 months.
So is it crazy to say when does the movie come out? I mean, I guess this is not the kind of heroic, you know, event at sea, or Sully Sullenberger landing his plane on the Hudson and it becomes a movie. Or the Navy SEALs taking out the pirates and it becomes a movie.
Yeah.
What, would this just be a movie totally lacking a plot? These people have been out there for 55 days.
Yeah.
On that ship. Incredible.
Yeah. That would be a great movie, I think. I hope someone's working on that.
Is there? Well, I guess something that's at sea is as long as a ship like that. They've got laundry, and how were they taken care of? Were they DoorDash? What were they?
Were we airlifting food onto the?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
So they had to stay on that ship this whole time.
This whole time,
and they're still there.
Yeah. They're even now that it's been towed back to port, they're still there. So you're right. They need to go ahead and make a movie about that. And then I also asked, with everything we've been talking about with this Trump trial, Cohen yesterday admitting to stealing money from the Trump Organization.
Yeah.
I mean, his character was already considered low coming in.
Sandblasted away.
Well, it's been so. How does this jury rule? I mean, they could rule as soon as next week during deliberations. I don't see how it's not at least a hung jury, but could all 12 vote to convict? I guess that's a possibility.
I guess. There's enough charges here, right? There's 30-some charges. Now, the Trump, you know, group of attorneys did have their chance to help pick the jury pool. It was in it was in Manhattan, so you're thinking slim pickings for somebody of Trump's ilk, basically. Somebody like Trump, who is so well known, but they did have a chance to, find out to get somebody on that jury that they felt comfortable with. I wonder what that number would be if you were to talk to a Trump attorney and say, "What's the number of jurors up there that you've got faith in that will that could see things your way?"
Yeah, or at least try to rule fairly.
Right.
Now, Joel said, "What do you think?" Yes, he's going to be found guilty. He's in a corrupt state with a corrupt judge and corrupt prosecution. Bill said the jury could do what O.J. Simpson's jury did, disregard the evidence and just give a verdict that pleases them. And Summerdale Tony says, "I have to have faith that the jurors can see the truth and bring a verdict of not guilty." I guess we could see as soon as next week.
Yeah, and again, we weren't there. What have they seen that we haven't seen? What have they heard that we have not heard? Jeff Poore on the way, 859 FM Talk 1065, Dan and Dalton, and back with you tomorrow morning.